boldness to just go and step out as you shop, as you you know, go to lunch, just throughout your day. If you're at a hotel and you go back to your hotel room and there's somebody in the lobby that you see, you know, that has an obvious need, or if the Lord gives you a word of knowledge, that you then step out and you go for it. You know, you take that step and watch God honor your faith and your obedience. So then this evening, you know, if you happen to be coming back this evening at 7 o'clock, which again will be in the auditorium, but if you're coming back, we're going to give an opportunity at the beginning of our time together if you have a testimony to share, because you know, testimonies help to spur all of us on and helps to encourage all of us to continue pressing in for you know, for this revelation to see God moving. So that's kind of the game plan. Todd, I believe, is primarily going to be our teacher, trainer, worship leader. He's going to be kind of the all-in-one guy for us this morning.
Y'all doing good this morning?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good. I see a couple of new folks. Morning. How are y'all doing? Good? Some crazy guy in the front with crazy hair. I love Jesus and he loves me. He does. You. I just love you, Lord. I'm just asking you to consume us, God. Consume us, God. If people can't see Christ in you, they don't want it. You can't give it to them. You cannot strong arm them into praying some prayer to have what you want, what you have, because they don't want it. God, you made us just like you. You made us in your image, God, to walk with you, to talk with you, to have fellowship with you. You want to come in and eat with us, God. You didn't leave us as orphans. You said you wouldn't, and you didn't. God, thank you. You're our daddy. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to wreck us. Yes. We're so in love with you that everything else just falls by the wayside.
Yes.
Not in a lack of responsibility, but in a complete love relationship that everything that we do is done out of love, God. God, I love you with all my heart. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. Oh yeah. That's my daddy. Lord, I thank you. You're making us catalysts for your glory, God.
Yes.
You want to flow through us, God. You want to heal through us, God. You want to deliver through us, God.
Yes.
Because the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells
Jesus
in us.
Yes.
And Jesus did everything fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
But the world needs a show and tell gospel. So it's kind of like different. I don't know if this is a metaphor, because I don't know what that word means, but maybe it is. Because we walk by faith and not by sight, but when someone gets healed, they see it.
Yes.
When a leg grows out, they see it.
Yes.
So the world is searching for answers, and if we don't show up in power, they're going to get them somewhere. So that's what this whole thing's about. This whole thing's about falling in love with Jesus so much that you actually walk this gospel out. That God flows through you as a catalyst for His glory. He destroys hell around you because of the Christ in you. That's what this is all about. So I wasn't being anti-scriptural when I said walk by sight. What I mean is, when you walk out this gospel, people see it, and there's no debate. Did that make sense? Okay. I just felt like people said, we don't walk by sight. We don't. Whoa, whoa, brother. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I understand. All right? Yay.
Amen.
Amen. Yay, God.
Amen.
Awesome.
That was fun.
Awesome.
God's like funness.
Yeah.
And He made you to be funness. All right. I have no plans except to like do what God's done in my life and impart that to people so that like, because this is all about multiplication. It's never about like what I can do. Like the only reason that I see people healed is because Christ lives in me. The only reason I have boldness is because I know who I am. I'm a son. I'm a son, and Jesus lives in me. See, he could have had the mansion on a hill. He could have had the most extravagant place. He could have said, I would like that one right there. But he didn't. He came down into the ghetto, and he got me. Right. And he said, I'll take that one right there. Because, see, being a drug addict for 22 years and being an atheist my whole life and an angry hater of people, it would have to be God. Because I tried everything else. Nothing else works. It just doesn't. There's a way that seems right to a man. And there's lots of different things that people choose to do. And they try to like, well, some say this and some say that. And well, this is good. And I'm glad that works for you. I hear that all the time. I'm glad that works for you, brother. That's what I hear. See, these people that you're approaching, that you're talking to, they've heard it. They've heard it so much. Do you know when you say you're a Christian, when you tell people at your workplace you're a Christian, immediately you're here.
Yeah.
Why? Because they want to see if you really are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it says to let your conduct be honorable.
Yes.
That's why it says to walk blameless.
Yes.
Really says that. Well, how can we walk blameless, brother? We're always going to be sinners. Knock it off. Mm-hmm. Either you're born again or you're not.
Right.
We can't use Romans 7 as a scapegoat and say, well, Paul, you know, I mean, Paul, I hear it all the time. It's twisted, man. Well, you know, Paul, brother, I mean, he wanted to do good and he couldn't. When he was talking to the Jews and he was talking about when he was under the law, there was no possible way for him to do it. Because everything up here wanted to be able to do it, but because he couldn't, because God's perfect and holy. But if the Holy Spirit comes and sets up residence in you and God says to be blameless and walk holy before him, is it possible?
Yes.
It is possible.
Absolutely.
He said it. We said, well, nobody can walk holy. We're always going to be sinners. That's a problem. I hear that all the time. Well, brother, hey, nobody's perfect. No. The Word of God says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. The Word of God says, be holy just as He is holy. It says that. Is it possible? Is it attainable? Yeah. Why is it not attainable? Because our life and the Word of God doesn't take the importance that it needs to. See, God's magnified His Word above His name. He's taken His Word and He's magnified it and put it up here. So here's His name and here's His Word. So anytime you take anything in life and you magnify it above His Word, you're doing the same thing that Satan did when he tried to exalt himself above God before he was cast out of heaven. God's Word is dominant, man. You might be going through stuff and it might be a fact, and I go through stuff. We talked about a little bit of it last night. That's nothing. There's all kinds of stuff, man. I get hit with stuff. It happens. It's not the fire that matters. It's who's in there with you. You're going to go through fire. It actually helps you. It actually purifies your faith. In Peter, it says it purifies your faith. Don't think it's weird when you go through fiery trials, guys. If need be. You're going to go through stuff. Yay for stuff. Doesn't feel good, man. It hurts. But those boys in the furnace came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. And here's the deal with the way God is. When you're going through something, if you cry to get off the altar because it's hot, the living sacrifice, we have the free will to get off of that thing. If you get off that altar, I promise you that you will face that thing again and again and again and again until you get through it. Why? Because God wants to purify your faith. That's the truth. That's God's word, man. That's not like, well, he's popping off. I'm telling you, who here hasn't gone through a fiery trial?
Yes.
Come on, man. I wasn't raising my hand like I was. I've gone through some stuff. I have. You know, I have relatives just like you. How many people have relatives that think you're in a cult? Yay for the cult! I'm just going to give you a couple testimonies, and I want to do some Q&A. I want to answer some questions because we all have like questions of like how do you walk this out? And so I know that like people have objections they get hit with, and so I love handling them because the gospel does them all. It just wrecks every objection. There's no way out. This truth trumps any fact. It just does. But if you're not consumed with truth, you'll think that, because there's lots of ways that seem right. Like if you're not completely consumed with the fact that God wants to heal everybody all the time, when you pray for the sick, you'll have five reasons why they can't be healed before you know the one that can. So the reason why Jesus healed everyone that came to him is because he had no reasons but yes. There was no other reasons at all. He knew who he was, where he was from, where he was going. It's the truth. It is. He didn't heal as God. He healed as a man in right relationship with God. Fully dependent upon God. Look, Jesus was tempted at all points. You can't tempt God. That right there alone, just that one scripture alone, wrecks every theological standpoint that Jesus did everything as God. He laid his divinity aside. He became a man. So now we have a model to follow. Jesus modeled perfect Christianity. Before I share testimony, I want to, you don't have to open your Bible yet. Well, you can. I'm going to hit a bunch of word, but I want to read you when I find it, my definition of a Christian. Yeah. This is good. This stretches me. We must come to realize that we, the church, are the tangible, living, pulsating flesh and bones and blood and brain of Jesus Christ, and that God wants to manifest himself through each one of us every minute of every day and is endeavoring to accomplish his big will for the world through us, not through some other body, through his body. Then the Christian responsibility will be understood. Jesus operates through you, not independently of you. Through you, man and God united. This is the divine secret of the Christian life. God's plan is to make us in all of our nature and being and habits and thoughts, in every structure of our life, just as beautiful, just as real, just as clear-minded, just as strong as Jesus Christ himself. This is redemption. It's the bringing out of the Christ in you until the Christ in you is the one dominant, the one manifest, manifesting himself through your eyes, just as God was manifesting himself through the eyes of Jesus, manifesting himself through your touch, just as through the touch of Jesus. Not a life separate from yours, but two lives made one, two natures co-joined, two minds operating as one, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Where's that at, brother?
That's in my book. I wrote it right here. I wrote it, man. It's all over the Word. The Word tells you, oh, my Bible's falling apart, man. Oh well. It's good to have your Bible fall apart. Better that in your life. It is. See, the church is his body. See, Jesus made us to be a set up habitation of God. He paid a price not just to get us to heaven, but he paid a price to get heaven into us. You're amazing to God. You know that? You are. You all are. I need to say that. Jesus paid a price to make us a habitation for the glory of God. People say that the glory of God is like some glory cloud that comes in or some mist or, ooh, look, there's the glory of God. The glory of God is the manifest attributes and presence of God that flows through the man or through the woman that brings glory to the King. So don't look for a cloud. Don't look for sparkles. Don't look for gold dust. If that stuff happens, that's great. But the glory of God is Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Yes.
This is real.
Amen.
I love not having a plan. Let's God be God.
Yep.
Not that we're not supposed to plan, but when you're preaching and teaching, it would help to spend time with God in the secret place to get this word in you so that every time you open your mouth, he comes out. That's what we're called to do. We're called to spend time alone with him. Don't use the excuse that you have a lot to unlearn. I grew up in the church, brother. You're lucky because you didn't. I've been in the Christ for 4.5 years. And I know what it's like to spend time alone with God. And I know what it's like to meet a lot of people that have been trained and taught by pastors and leaders who mean well, but taught them out of an experience at the cost of God's word. All you need to do is spend time alone with God in the secret place. He will breathe upon the word that you have in you, make you a wealth source of information in time of need, and a lighthouse in the midst of every storm.
Amen.
Don't keep saying, well, I have a lot to unlearn. Honestly, every time you say that, it just puts a stumbling block in front of you. Because honestly, you'll never unlearn what you have. It'll take you forever. So how about just letting God be God? Let Him breathe on what you have. And He'll make it alive. See, the problem is when we get into that place, because let me address something. When we get into a quiet place and we want to spend time with God, a lot of times we don't feel anything. So we don't know if He's really there. This is real. Like when you go into a closed, into your bedroom or whatever, and you're in your room and you're like slaying there and you call it soaking, but your mind is going like 100 different places, and you're trying to quiet your mind. Do you think that God doesn't understand what you're trying to do? Do you think that He doesn't reward those who diligently seek Him? Do you think that He actually wants to like make you in His image, because that was what you were made in the beginning? And He's bringing you back to the original purpose that you were created. So God sees and understands that man's mind is like going crazy. But He sees the diligence, and He sees that you're not going to bow to anything. You're pressing in, and you're going to have this thing. And God says, seek Me in the secret place, and I'll reward you in the open. So at the time spent with Him, whether your mind's rambling and rumbling or not, I've had people tell me, because my mind goes all the time. It does. But I know that when I'm pulled away and I say, God, my mind is going 1,000 different places, but I want You. I want You. And I can't live for You unless You show me who You are. So I'm asking you to reveal Yourself, and I promise you, I'll live for You with everything I am. So I get into the secret place, and here's the secret place, a bathroom stall when nobody's there. Here's the secret place when you're in your car on your way to work. Shut the music down. Say, God, I just need to know You. Help me. It's great to listen to worship music, and it's great to sing songs, but what about quieting a song and saying, you know what, Lord? I really don't understand who You are, and I need to. Because I need to establish relationship with You. I need to have such a love relationship with You that I'm so consumed with Your love. God, I need to have a relationship with You where I see through Your eyes, through Your heart. Where I see the lost and hurting and dying, and I can't stand to walk by them because You wouldn't. I need to be so consumed with Your love, so consumed with Your passion, God, that my life is a compassionate mirror image of You. I need to know You. I need to think like You. I need to talk like You. And God, if I don't meet You here, like You said, in the secret place, I'll think that there's a way that seems right to a man. I'll think that whatever I think is right. But if You reward me in the open, God, like Your word says so, we'll see what's right. That's a real deal. It's a prayer. It's constant prayer. God, make my heart just like Yours. I want to see people through Your eyes. I want to see people through Your heart. I don't want to live for me, God. I'm not alive for me. I'm alive for You. I'm not for You. You're for me. Help me. Help me. Help me live from heaven. We're not living towards victory. We're living from it. God wants to fill you. He wants to completely consume you with everything that He is. But we have so much stuff that we deal with that we can't get it straight a lot. Come on, man. Is this real for anybody? Do you ever pull away and say, well, I don't know how they quiet their mind because my mind's going crazy? Come on. This is real. But God sees you in that place, and man, He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Seek Him with everything you are. Say, I'm not bowing down at nothing. I'm going to live for You, Jesus. I am going to live for You, and I'm going to glorify You in my life every day. I promise you this, God. You show me who You are, and I will live for You. 2 Corinthians, can you go there? I'm probably going to share some testimonies and then ask, you know, questions and stuff, and just share a couple scriptures and, yeah. 2 Corinthians 3. See, God wants to sanctify His church. He's already set us apart, but He wants to sanctify. See, there's a process of sanctification in our life. And the Word of God starts to pull out the dross and pull out the stuff and refine us. He's like a refiner's fire. He's a consuming fire. So what He does is He gets His Word inside your heart. Salvation works itself out with fear and trembling. So salvation works itself out from the inside. God doesn't do the osmosis thing coming from outside in. He does the salvation working itself out with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the Spirit of God is like the government of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the government of God rules and reigns from within. See, in a democracy, you can break the law, and like the president will never find out in a lot of cases. But in a theocracy, when the king rules and reigns from within, you can't break the law without God knowing immediately. So what happens is the Holy Spirit establishes such a relationship with the believer priesthood, with the believer, that God knows what you're going to do before you even do it. He already knew a long time ago, like forever. But He wants to make you just like Him. So he deals with us and He knows who we are. But man, when this love relationship gets established, all that trash falls to the ground. All that sin conscience, I don't even think sin. I don't wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I hope I don't sin today. I want to live righteous before Him because Jesus has made me right. I'm right standing with God. You can't bite your lip and do good. You'll chew your lip off, man. You just can't. You can't. You have to trust that the Holy Spirit's a big boy, and God said get His Word in you, and as the Word gets in you, it'll transform you. Amen. Completely transform. So it says it in 2 Corinthians 3, and this is like the sanctification process of God. In 3:17 it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty is freedom. Liberty is not biting your lip trying to do good. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now watch this, because I've heard the word glory used all different ways, and I understand it's the weightiness in the presence of God and this, and I know that. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. So when you look in the mirror, you don't see a cloud, a glory cloud in your right in front of you. You might. But when you look in a mirror, who do you see? Who do you see? It's an easy answer. Tell me who you see. Yourself. Right? And if you're looking in a mirror and you're not seeing yourself, we can pray for you. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. In Romans 12:2, it's the same word. It's like a metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar into a butterfly. It's like a complete transformation. It's like when God says that you've come into Christ, you're a brand new creation. You're being transformed. But this is the sanctification process, because God actually is bringing you back into the same exact image that you were made in the beginning. So what man lost, God's restored. Jesus restored that which was lost. And that was man's dominion, man's authority, man's relationship with God. So He says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So when you look in the mirror, you're looking in your eyes. You're looking at your face. You're seeing yourself. So when you look in the mirror, God sees you for Christ in you, the hope of glory. God doesn't any longer, He doesn't see you for who you were. He doesn't see Todd for the 22 years of addiction and the lives that he crushed. He sees Todd for the brand new creation that Todd believes and knows that he is. The enemy wants to focus on who I'm not. So he constantly whispers and constantly lies and constantly tells you lies about who you were. If God forgives and forgets, it's never God reminding you, trying to tell you, you need to fix this and you need to fix that and you need to fix this. You just need to believe God. Because what happens is we get caught up in this stuff where we try to like fix all these, I hear people call them hooks. That's trash. Why? Because you'll never, ever, ever, ever get every hook out. Ever, because they're not there. They're imaginary hooks that the devil wants you to hold on to. Because Jesus has made you in his image and he's transforming you. Here's the problem. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you look in the mirror, that's what you see. Beholding is in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. Our being. So as you look in the mirror, you're seeing the glory of the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our being transformed into the same image. The same image that God created you in the beginning, in his image. The highest mark of his whole creation is you. You're God's best. You're God's elect. You're the best he's got, man. Yay. Into the same image. How do we get transformed? We move from glory to glory. If we just go to seminary school, which I didn't. If we just go there and we learn the Bible theologically, intellectually, we now do what Colossians you go to Colossians. I'm just going to skip around a little bit. Man, I'm trashing this Bible. Oh gosh. I have so much stuff written, and if you knew what I mean, I wrote a whole nother Bible in it. Like, it'll take a lot to transfer it out. Ben says I'll deal well with it. It says in Colossians 2, let's just start, and I'll just start in verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I've had for those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Man, that's a good word for the body. And attaining to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. You know, the mystery has been revealed, right?
Yes.
Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
It's been hidden, but now it's not. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Wisdom of the world is not wisdom of God. There's a way that seems right to a man, and there's many reasons why this and why that and why this and why that. But there's the wisdom of God. That James said that the wisdom of man is actually demonic. That's what it says. It says the wisdom of God is perfect, holy, blameless, beautiful, amazing. God wants to make you wise, but not with man's wisdom. You can be the smartest of smart and have all the wisdom in the world, and God will drive you crazy. Because he will wreck your world, man. He will take your mind and scramble it like eggs. I'm amazed, because like Dr. John, he's got an intellect that's like, but he gets this gospel. I'm amazed by a buddy of mine. His name's Chris Seitz. He's was a pre-med student, and he came. And he's such a smart guy, raised Presbyterian, and like goes to, you know, went to Presbyterian church. And he came to my house one time. We had a home group like 3 years ago. And I remember we had communion in my basement. And he's like, what? He was freaked out. Like, you're going to do that here? I'm like, yeah. He goes, but we're not in church. I said, dude, we are the church. I was like, no. What? It's just not on his grid. But his brain, intellect. You know that book, When Heaven Invades Earth, if anybody's read it, I would encourage you to read it. Or Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind, a Renewed Mind. Really good book. Chris was like scrambled eggs, man. Like, because his brain is so smart. He's just so smart. He read those books in like 40 minutes each. And he's like a photographic memory. I don't know how that works. God blessed me with a big heart and a small mind. So, we're all in. Yeah. He did, because your heart can take you places your brain can't fit. You're not supposed to believe with your... It's not with the mind a man believes, it's with the heart. Because once your heart gets it, the Spirit of God renews your mind, because your heart gets it. And then all of a sudden your heart will take you there. And I've talked to many, 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 many geniuses, many, many, many engineers and doctors and lawyers and psychologists. And they are freaked out by this gospel, man. Well, that's just not possible. It's not logical. Well, your leg grew out. Well, I know, but what do you do with that? That's why we need a show and tell gospel, because there's so many people out there that their philosophy and their teaching is so like It's just so above the norm. I don't even know what the norm is, man.
Setting on the dryer.
Yeah. Yeah.
The norm would be normal Christian life, which is what Jesus did.
Right, right. That's I mean like normal, like, yeah. Okay. And then it says this. It says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. I love that, because like, remember when Paul went to Corinth and he said, you know, I didn't come to you with the wisdom of man, that you'd put your, like, your hope in my gifting. I came to you with the power of God. So he said, because Paul was like pretty genius, pretty smart, trained under one of the best. You know, Paul said that I count all stuff as rubbish.
Yes.
He did, as dung, on the dung pile.
Yep.
To knowing Christ. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding, meaning having an excess, with it in thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you. Cheat, like sell you short, like take you captive. Sell you short. Through philosophy, through empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And that's like sweet. It's like so good. So there's all kinds of ways that seem right to a man. There's all kinds of genius intellect. And that guy, Chris, he came to my house and I was giving testimonies of God healing people. And he was like, no way, dude. Like, that's crazy. Like, I'm serious. And we like went and hung out one day. And he was really whacked. Because like when, like, and like when I go to Walmart or a store, I look for people. Because Jesus, like, look for people. Like, God wants to get on people. See, there, I'm called to America. I'm not called to another country. There are missionaries, and I agree with that, and that's great if that's your calling. My call is to preach the gospel of the kingdom, because we've heard the gospel of salvation. That's all we've heard. We haven't heard the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
And that's what needs to be preached to all the nations before the end will come. America is missing that, the gospel of the kingdom. We know enough to get to heaven, but not enough to stop living like hell in between. So philosophy, the ways that seem right to a man. Logically, there is no possible way for a blind eye to open. No way. God doesn't say that. He says all things are possible.
Amen.
So when Chris started to get a hold of this thing, he like started to get hungry. And he's like, oh, dude. Like, this is awesome. Like, I can't believe this, man. I can't believe this. Why don't... And he would go back to his church and try to tell them. And that didn't go over well. So Chris was quiet. And he sat in the midst of a congregation that was very quiet. The only reason they're quiet and the only reason they do it is because of tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. I'm not against denominational people. Not at all, man. Check this out. Here's a good one for you. We, in evangelical zeal, have tried to strong arm people into praying our sinner's prayer.
Right.
To get people to be born again.
Yeah.
If somebody believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord, if they believe Jesus was crucified for them and resurrected, sits at the right hand of God, and they confess that. Yeah, I believe that. What's that make them? So now why do we think that people that are Catholic aren't right with God? That'll challenge everything. That's not blasphemy. The Word of God says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved.
Yeah.
So what's to stop them from already being saved?
you shall know them by their fruit.
Now watch. Fruit happens when you know who you are. So now we have tradition that's set up in a church where these people, honestly, they honor God with all they know. All they know is what they've seen. So now we have people that are in Catholicism and that go to church, they go to Mass, and they go to the priest, and they confess, and they do, that's all they know. And they don't know not to live like hell. They've never been taught that. And so when you come into their midst, they're freaked out by you because they think you're in a cult. But it's not because they're bad people, it's because they don't know any better. So how are they going to know any better if you're trying to strong-arm them into praying a prayer that they have no idea what you're doing? What about walking your life out and allowing the fruit in your life to be so profuse that they are so drawn in by the supernatural power of God flowing in and through you constantly that they have to have what you are?
Amen.
That's how we evangelize.
Amen.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
It's so good. Do you have a question?
Well, I just want to say something. My husband and I are Catholic.
Amen.
And
bless you.
Yeah, and there's plenty of Catholics who are, really wanting to seek Jesus.
That's exactly right. I'm agreeing with you.
There's missing parts of it.
That's right, man.
I love Jesus.
But you love Jesus.
And there's
perfect example.
Like
no, you're not. Here's why I use Catholicism. Because honestly, that's one of the most strict religions that's out there. Denominations that's out there. My family's Episcopalian. They're all Episcopal, and a lot of them used to think that I was in a cult because my family. Now a lot of in Catholicism, one of the greatest things. Whenever I talk to people that have the denomination of Catholic, you understand I wasn't beating up anybody, right?
No,
man, I honor
I just
everybody.
Felt like maybe some people here have a real negative view of it.
Yeah, but not man.
Oh, Jesus,
yeah, I know.
We have a prayer group, a bunch of Catholics.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, see now, right there. Now she loves God. Now what she believes in her heart, Jesus is Lord. You don't know many Catholics that don't. They believe that. Right? What's to stop them from being born again already? See, we've tried to get them to pray our prayer. You know that the sinner's prayer was made up 100 years ago? I'm not saying that it's not about souls, because it is. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit's a big boy, man. Water seeds and sow seeds.
Amen.
And trust God, because He's well able to do it. He loves everybody. And I know that, man, that challenges theological doctrine stuff. It does. I got the permission to preach at Valley Forge Christian College on February 12th. I get to go in there to the Bible college to preach the gospel. It's going to be neat because I'm not going in there with a projection where I want to project on people. I love people, man. God loves people. He wants to touch them. He wants them to know that they're sons and daughters. You know, one of the most amazing things that Mary ever said, right, was at the wedding of Cana. It is. It's the last noted thing she said in the Bible. It's the last noted thing. It's the truth. Jesus said, what does this have to do with me, when she said they ran out of wine? Mary was so hungry because she had been pregnant with Jesus for so many years. He's the Messiah. It's time. This is crazy. Come on. This has got to go. She's bursting at the seams, man. She just looks at the servants and she says, do whatever Jesus says. So the last noted thing in the Bible is do whatever Jesus tells you.
Amen.
So we're supposed to do whatever Jesus tells us.
Amen.
So I'm trying to get in here. We have people that are in denominations that are in our life. And we've tried to focus on getting them to pray a sinner's prayer. And we've tried to think of every tactic to try to get them to do it. Back off. Start seeking Jesus for who He is. Allow the supernatural power of God to flow through you to where your family is so freaked out that they have to have it. Really? Go ahead.
I just want to share something, because I was raised Lutheran, okay? I love Jesus my whole life, and Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism is if anybody knows the history, we'd all be doing Latin right now. Some guy 200 years back named Martin Luther didn't attack 95 Theses, which were just items for debate on the fort or castle, you know, door. Well, the thing is that they were just things that he wanted to know about, like why. And he created a big, you know, schism and so on and so forth, and there were some problems that came about. Not that either side was 100% right, but that happened, and then all these other denominations occurred. One of my absolute dearest friends in the Lord is my brother, Larry, and not brother in Christ, but that dude. And he's a card-carrying, charismatic Roman Catholic, who, by the way, has been dipped and dunked. I'm talking, okay? And his son is in seminary.
You got to understand John to know his language, okay? He's just blessed by God.
Okay. Now, his entire family, he has, him and his wife, have raised 7 incredible kids that know their Bible inside and out, that love Jesus with all they got. Okay? I was going to challenge some people, but that's, you know, they're the real deal. As real as any Christian I know. Probably the most moral and ethical person I knew before coming out here. I ran into a guy named Dan Bowler. So we got ties, you know. Dan just has a much broader understanding of this. But Larry brought his wife out for healing service. And Dan operates in words of knowledge. Dan is so gifted, but he doesn't manifest it a whole lot. But he went right up to my buddy Larry. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't know his wife had had a stroke just around her 50th birthday, and there were some real issues going on. She got prayed for. She was blessed. I wish I could tell you she was 100% healing, but no, she's walking through some stuff. But he went up to Larry, and God's telling him emphatically Larry's heart. And I rarely heard him just go up to a brand new person in a setting like that. And God loves Larry. God loves how Larry raised his family, how all his kids are on track. He's got no drug addicts. He's got no, I mean, he just, these kids are all just following Jesus the way they're taught, okay? Not necessarily walking out Todd's experience or Dan's experience or Dr. John's experience, but they're walking out their experience. A few years back, an enigma came into my office, okay? It was a young lady, first name Elizabeth, patient, Lyme disease. Major issues. Elizabeth was raised in an evangelical home. Every male over the age of 20 in her relatives, everyone was either a missionary or a preacher, pastor, youth pastor, evangelist. Everyone. And she went and she did the unthinkable by the way their brains work. She married a Roman Catholic. Catholic. That was her calling. And she loves it. She absolutely loves it. Now, I know this can stretch some people, but that's Elizabeth's calling. So she's come to me, and I'm so psyched, because she knows her Bible inside and out. She's leading a Bible study for women old enough to be her grandma. Okay? And they're all getting in their Bibles. And in their cases, it was for one of the first times, because, you know, the congregation. There's other ones like these guys that are in their Bibles. I mean, it's awesome. We need to be in the Word. That's great. It's not about works. But here's the thing. She comes, and I'm helping her as best I can with Lyme disease. And I keep telling them, come out to a healing service. They do, with great trepidation. They're sitting on the sofa. She's got some major issues. Pain, shoulders, this, that, and the other. Todd gets a word of knowledge. She's not trumping up, you know. She's got major neck and shoulder pain, and her husband's giving her one of these, you know. That's you, Elizabeth, right? So finally, she goes, I guess that's me. And he goes, oh, hold still here. Jesus' name be healed. And she's like, well, her world just got rocked. And it was good. Okay? So she got majorly healed. Even the Lyme disease just seemed to bow out. She was just so much better from that day forward. This was in October. I get a call, I think it was around, I don't know, December, whatever, I don't remember the exact date, but I get a call. She's on the phone with me. She's doing fabulous, with the exception, and we're getting a little bit here, except for erratic cycle and infertility, which she had had since she got married, okay? And she just so wanted to have a child. So, she's on the phone with me, telling me this, and she just confesses that her cousin got married over the summer, and when they came in for Thanksgiving dinner, and the whole family, said when she walked in the door, I knew she was pregnant. And she said, and I just felt a little jealous, a little bit envious that, like, here they've been married a few months and all of a sudden she's pregnant, like it's no big problem, and I've been married 3.5 years and it's an issue. But she actually caught herself in what happened, and she immediately asked for forgiveness, and that was wrong. She confessed to me, and I just thought, you know, I mean, that's a humble, that's just truth, that's just the way things went. So we're talking, and the phone rings, and I see Todd White. I go, Elizabeth, you need to hold on here for a second. I'm going to interrupt this call. Hey, man, you know, the person in your, oh, by the way, she just told me that her doctor thought her thyroid was low, okay? So she's not having a regular cycle, she's got infertility, and they think she has low thyroid, okay? He calls on the phone. Now, mind you, she's in Maryland at the time. He's in Thomasville or at the ice factory. I don't know where you were. And I'm in Seven Valley, Southern York County. So we're like, you know, all over the map here. And I tell her, hold on, we have to do a three-way. This is hot. He calls me, and what he told me was, there's a patient in your office that has something going on in their abdomen and their neck area. I went, hang up, I'll call you back, I'm going to make this a three-way. So I put him on, and I said, Todd, this is the young lady, you know, with Roman Catholic background, that was actually raised evangelical, that you prayed for, and she got totally whacked and healed, and, you know, her life's even more changed in wonderful ways. And I said, and you just gave a word, and it's spot on for her, but she's not in my office, she's on the phone. So, obviously, he prays for her over the phone. Well, it was before I had the digital recorder like that. I had just an audio cassette tape. I had to bring it that night. She came out. She was pregnant within like 2 months. She still hadn't had her cycle. But I believe her son's name's Matthew, but that could be wrong. He's been born now. He's perfectly healthy. He's wonderful. She's back on track with everything. And that's all, you know, perfect. Now, let's hear the rest of the story. In the interim, with all this, she originally thought I was going to try to convert her or something. No! She's already there. Okay? She can expand her borders and her understanding, but she's already there, and she's where she's supposed to be. That's as important. A few years back, after I first knew her and after she, you know, got some of these experiences, she was to head up, her and like a couple others, this group. She already had Bible study and so on, but the, Billy Graham and his son, it was Billy Graham's last big event down in the Maryland area, Baltimore, okay? And they were having this huge revival type thing and meeting, and in the past, they would always, you know, track these people, give them Bibles and so on, but they would try to get them hooked up with, you know, specific churches that were aligned with them exactly. And the challenge is, you have all these Roman Catholics that are now, they have a different understanding here, and it was a real issue. But what they decided was to go in there ahead of time and find these different congregations that were teaching Bible, had Bible studies and so on, and join together with them so that everybody would be on the same page and so on and so forth. And that's what they did. And she was leading up one of these Bible studies, and she was one of the contact people for it. So God is coming back. Jesus is coming back for a bride, the bride of Christ. He's not coming back just for Catholics.
Yep.
He's not coming back for whatever, you know, I am, you know, born again, Lutheran background that just, like, loves Jesus, okay? He's not coming back for former atheists that, you know, have this, like, bird's nest up here going on. And by the way, that is a bird's nest for a dove. But we gotta be understanding, we gotta be ecumenical. You know, in Matthew 7 it says, judge not lest you be judged. We're not called to judge our brothers, we're called to love our brothers regardless, because they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you got another one? You got something?
Well, this will be quick. I'm going to share something quick. I'm over here busting out.
No, do it.
Okay, God is like, okay, like you were saying, you can't, I used to be Catholic. I was raised Catholic.
Cool.
And it's just awesome because God will show you, like some people think that, like, one, like the Catholic thing is like religious or whatever it is that they think. But really, when you're doing that, like you said, if you're trying to give you're trying to change somebody and you think you're better, or you're trying to make them believe like you, yeah. make them like you, that's way more of a religious spirit
it
than
is.
They have, right. and that's pride.
It
and
is.
You can't do that. Whether somebody's lost or a different denomination, whatever, you just got to give them Jesus and love them and not be
right
like
on.
You're better or that you have. You, it's the same
yeah.
God, you know? And so God's like, it's just awesome because the Lord just showed me all that before. And he took me, like, recently, well, two things. God told me to go to Franciscan University, to this, which is a Catholic university.
Right.
And they have a night once a month where they have all praise and worship. And these kids, I mean, there's hundreds of kids packed in there loving Jesus like you would not
believe. Right on.
And God so spoke to me so powerfully in that place. I can't get into the whole story because I want to make this short, but I was talking to God before I even went there about a specific thing and a specific song and this whole thing. I walk in, they do this whole processional with that song. I mean, I fell on the ground. I mean, it was just God. Then God led me to go to, because recently, because God just showed me all that, like about different denominations, different people. And it's like, I've seen more religious spirits in other and spirit-filled, so-called spiritual churches, horrible, than I have in,
right.
and it's just, I'm like, no, you know, so God led me not too long ago to go to a mass. He told me, I was like, I'm going, because I was like, at first I was just going to go by myself, and then ended up that my brother and my mom went with me, but he told me to go, specifically told me to go. I go to this mass, which wasn't around, it was in Pittsburgh, and oh my gosh, it was a two-hour-long thing, and I have never, I just want to tell you, God will just blow your mind with stuff. I started, the bishop gets up to talk, starts talking about the fire of God changing his life, and he's like 80. I start crying in the place.
Oh,
no,
it's
you
awesome.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's this dude next to me, I'm going to tell you about this guy. This guy and his wife next to me, I have not seen, even in so-called spiritual Christians, the love that I've seen
right.
in some of those people. And this guy looked at me, he was with his wife, and I took communion too, by the way. I mean, I used to be Catholic. I don't care. I was like, I'm the body of Christ. Whether they believe, I'm taking communion. It was awesome.
Right.
I started crying after communion. I went and sat down. The guy and his wife next to me, I mean, I have never seen, probably almost in anybody, a man that had Jesus in his eyes so much. He looked at me and said, peace be, you know, they do peace be with you, and they shake your hand. That's what you do in Catholic Mass.
Right.
Each other's how you greet. And when he said, peace be with me, looked at me, I was like, oh my gosh, his eyes pierced me. I've never, he loved his wife so much. They took communion, they knelt down at the thing afterward, and he's holding her, and they're crying, he's got a
yeah.
tissue, and loving the Lord. And I'm just
that's
like,
awesome.
You can't be like, you can have more religious spirit if you act like,
right.
God wants you to be humble no matter who you are, and just be like, just give them
right.
what you know. You know, we all have a different, they may have some different things that aren't,
right.
that are strange, but so did the spirit-filled churches and the whatever.
Right.
They got some messed up things, you know, man's doctrine. I'm like, forget about doctrine regardless, and just love God, and let's just love
yeah.
one another, and be like,
yeah.
and you'll just be free.
Yeah.
And God just blew my mind. I'm like, if you're willing to let God use people to do something and speak to you and humble yourself, God will speak through anyone and anything, and it's just
right.
amazing.
Yeah.
Amen.
So this whole thing is like, what we're talking about, this whole thing about like philosophy and tradition, what we need to do is we need to walk in love.
Yes.
Because this whole thing's about love, man. Every song that we sang is about love. It's about being made in His image. It's about being made in His likeness, and God is love, right? So that's a good word, to stop trying to transform your family and to
yes.
get them to pray the way you do
yes.
and to get them to do the things you do. Just love them. And allow the fruit in your life to be so profuse that they are so attracted by that. They're attracted by love. See, darkness doesn't understand what love is. Darkness is freaked
yes.
out by it, man. Darkness doesn't understand it, but it will get on them. See, I've had jobs in different places I've worked where there are angry people all around. But it's really hard for an angry person to respond to love. They don't know how to deal with it. They just don't. No, I have a. I want to share a testimony about my aunt, because she was like the most intellectual, traditional. She's raised Episcopalian, like my family, and she was at Ohio. Yeah, we did a Power and Love conference there. My aunt was like the kind of person to beat up Jesus, man. Say, you Christians, this is ridiculous. Like. You guys, this, that, and the other. It was just horrible. Well, I had an encounter at Teen Challenge where I met Jesus three nights in a row. And when I shared that testimony at Christmas, my aunt was mocking me. And when I shared it, her mouth was dropped open. Because that same Jesus that I met in the valley three nights in a row is the same dream that my grandfather had when I was just an infant, fresh born. Same exact encounter. My aunt was like, there's no way you can know that. She told me it's exactly word for word what my grandfather saw, because he had an encounter with Jesus when he was when he was an alcoholic.
He was only 20
years
old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing, because like But that was just a seed, and I sowed that seed. Well, my aunt kept mocking and just kept doing what she did. Well, we had a conference called Power and Love Conference, which are amazing if you can ever get to one. Because what we do is we train and equip and take people out in the street and walk with them, hold your hand, and God will flow for you. Because
yes.
He wants to.
Yes.
Regardless of what you've been brought up with.
Yes.
He loves you. God wants to confirm His word with signs following, because that's just God. That's what He wants to do. So my aunt called me and several times, and we were in meetings, so I couldn't answer, but I called her back, and I said, "Hey, Holly, how are you?" She was, Todd, she's 15 minutes from the conference in Wooster, Ohio. She lived there. And I've never been to her house, I don't, you know, because I live in Pennsylvania. And she said, "Well, I'd like to come and hear you speak. When are you going to speak?" And I said, "Well, where are you right now?" And she said, "Well, I'm at this restaurant called the Tumbleweed." And I looked out the window of the hotel, and the Tumbleweed is within stone's throw of the hotel, right there, man. She goes, "Well, I'm waiting on a friend to get here." And I said, "Well, man, we'll come right over. We got like a half hour till the meeting starts." So she's like, "Okay, well, I couldn't come tonight anyway, but like if you're speaking tomorrow, maybe I can come." I said, "Okay." So we went, and I said, "Does your friend have a back issue? Because I got a word of knowledge about a friend." She goes, "Actually, she does. She's got like scoliosis. It's real bad." I said, "Man, well, God's going to heal her. I'll be right over, click." And she, my aunt, that's, she doesn't have a grid for that. She's freaked out by that. But see, what she doesn't need is for me to preach a good sermon to her. What she doesn't need is for me to try to convince her that my way's right and hers isn't. What she needs is me to walk out this gospel. Preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. It's really good. So we went to the Tumbleweed, we pulled in, and it's like, I said, "That's her friend." It was neat. I said, "You got to stop, man. Stop the truck, stop the truck." So I got out of the truck, and I ran up to the window of this car. And I said, "You're Holly's friend." And she's like, kind of freaked out, because there's this dude with the goatee at her window. And it was long then, so I looked kind of crazy. God's okay with it.
You don't now with dreads.
No, totally different. So I said, "You're her, you're Holly's friend." She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm her nephew. I told her I was going to meet you here. God's going to heal you. You have a back problem." She goes, "Yeah?" She doesn't even know that I'm coming. Holly didn't call her and tell her. So she is way freaked out. So I said, "I'll be back." And Dan was talking to her. And I ran in to get Holly. I said, "Your friend." I said, "I know who she is. I said, God told me who she was." She goes, "What?" Because she doesn't have a grip for that. She's a brain. Not. She's a very, very genius mentality, raised with physics and anatomy and archaeology. And she went to school for like 12 years, man. She's a genius, big time. And her brain's too big. But she has a heart. But her heart needs to outweigh the brain, because that'll get us there. So I said to her, I said, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be awesome. God's going to heal your friend. How did you know my friend?" I said, "Jesus told me." She goes, "How did Jesus tell you?" I said, "Well, I don't know, because he loves me, he loves your friend, he loves you. Come on, let's just do this." So I sat her down on the bench. I can't explain to her and tell her and teach her. I have to do it. She needs to see it. Sight. She needs to see it, because she's like a skeptic. I love skeptics. God's just not intimidated by any of them. He's just not. I've seen so many skeptics healed because God loves them, because it doesn't matter what they believe. I'm not going to try to convince them what they need to believe. I'm going to show them what I believe. And then allow them to base a decision off of a supernatural encounter with God that wrecks their world. It's a real good way to evangelize. It's called power evangelism. The power of God evangelizes the situation. Yeah. Presence evangelism. You allow the presence of God to flow through you to touch them, that they are evangelized in love. So I had a friend hold her leg out, and her leg was short, and prayed for her leg to grow. And Holly's like, because her leg grew out, and her friend wouldn't even look at her leg. She's like looking at Holly like, "What's going on right now?" And Holly's like, "I don't know." Her leg grew out. Well, down the sidewalk rolled a wheelchair, and we're set up right in front of this restaurant, and the wheelchair's coming. Well, there's a paraplegic in the wheelchair. She rolls right up on us, and we're in the way. And I said, "Oh, honey," I said, "what's wrong?" She goes, "I'm paralyzed. Paraplegic from her weight from right here down." I said, "Oh my gosh, can we pray for you?" And Holly's like weirded out, because she knows it's not a setup. It is, but it's not in the natural. So we're praying for this lady, and her legs start going. And I'm like, you see that, man? Dan's like, yeah. And the power of God. And my aunt is like, what is going on right now? I said, God's touching her. And she starts going into convulsions, man. She was like shaking. It was like serious. And Dan, and her lady that was pushing her, Dan's like, has she ever done this? She's like, 7 years.
She's with her daily and hasn't seen a muscle in her legs move for 7 years.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
God's shifting the mindset of some people maybe here in this situation. And my aunt is so freaked out. She goes, we're going to go into the restaurant. I'll call you. She has to deal with that. Huh? Yeah, she stood up out of her chair. Really? And Holly is watching, and she is like, everything in her is going, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. I'm being serious, because it's really shaking. This is what your relatives need. This is what the people at your workplace need to see. They don't need to hear you. They need to see it. Enough talk, more walk. Dare to believe God. This is real. We can talk about it all day long. And if you haven't seen it yet, I promise you will. I promise. Because God wants to confirm His word. Look, they just prayed for her brother that had born with a short leg on the phone last night or this morning. This morning. And his leg grew out over the phone. Come on. Is this thing real? It's on them. It's in them. You guys are toast.
Thank you.
It's real. It's like you can't get out of it. You guys are all done. You shouldn't have come in this place. I'm serious. It's all about the message, man. You, God wants to flow through you. You're His kids. He loves you. He just loves you. Amazingly. So Holly like came to the meeting, I think, the next day at 2. Saturday afternoon, and I preached the gospel, and she cried the whole time. And she said, you know, she goes, Grandpa would be so proud of you right now. Because you don't understand, but my grandpa only knew me as a drug addict. He died when I was in the midst of that. He died like, see, he was an alcoholic, but after that encounter with Jesus, he never drank again. And he lived for Jesus in the only way he knew how. That was go to church on Sunday and be a good man. And a good leader. But there was a call on his life to do what God's called me to do. Because I had the same encounter with Jesus. I just have been in touch with different people. Dan was in my life. And I saw something. And I had to have it. And I pressed into this thing. Because I'm hungry. And God's going to reward me because He says He will. And no matter what experience I've had, it will not trump the Word of God. God's Word is true. And if I don't see it, and my experiences might be a fact because I didn't see it. I will see everyone get out of a wheelchair. I will see the dead raised. I will see every blind eye open. I will see every deaf ear open. I will see it. I will see that. Why? Because God says I can. And I refuse to say I won't. That's just trash. That's empty deceit. That's philosophy. That's actually a way that seems right to a man. Well, you know, Jesus says everybody's going to be healed, but not everybody, brother. That's trash. That's a lie. That's from hell.
Amen.
He said, these signs will follow those that believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's no parentheses that says, well, not everybody. That's a lie from hell. That's the devil.
Amen.
Trying to integrate himself into the gospel, trying to whisper just like he did in the tree. He's a liar and he's exposed and I will not stand for it. Do I go through stuff? Yep. But God's doing a good work in me. And He's not going to finish it until Jesus comes back. Come on.
Amen.
We're never going to die, guys. So I preached that and she cried and she was like freaked out. And I said, you got a problem in your back and knees, Holly. She goes, I do. I said, can I pray for you? She goes, okay. So I prayed for her knees and back get healed. So she's freaked out more. Crying. But see, God opened her heart because of that paraplegic lady. She can't get that out of here. It won't go away. And I believe the Holy Ghost is so beautiful that when she's alone, the Holy Spirit says, I love you. I love you. You've avoided me, but I've been seeking you. I love you. That's so good, man. There's power and weight on that. So my aunt says, you know, my horse tore a muscle in its butt. My aunt loves horses. She goes, can you pray for animals? I said, we can pray right now. Your horse can be healed. Really? So we prayed right now. I said, it's done, man. She goes, oh, that's so awesome. Well, we'll see. So she goes to the horse stable, and her horse's butt healed. That day. Right away, as soon as she left. The horse stable was 5 or 10 minutes away from the church, her horse place. So she calls me after the meeting. She goes, Todd. She goes, what are you doing right now? I said, well, I actually have about 30 minutes and the meeting starts. She goes, well, listen, I'm down here at the horse stable. She goes, and I told all my friends that if you come down here, all of them will be healed. This is so real, guys. This is real stuff. Allow the fruit in your life to be so profuse that your relatives get wrecked, that your colleagues get wrecked, that you're just like that you got like a boss that rah, 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 that the fruit in your life is so profuse that it gets on your boss, that actually your boss gets wrecked, that is under his desk trembling because of the fear of God. Amen. That when he has a time of need and one of his family members is dying, all he knows and can't get out of his head is that that man has told me and walked this gospel out blameless, and I don't really know him, but there's nothing I got to lose, so why not just ask him to pray for my sister? And then all of a sudden, in the midst of a situation, they come because they're in dire need. Don't think that doesn't happen. You plant and sow seeds and water. So I went down to Holly's barn stables, and there's like 12 people in a circle in chairs, and they're all skeptics. Every one of them. And they're all just sitting there like this, looking at me. Holly goes, here they are. God gave me a word of knowledge about each one and went around the circle and healed every one of them in the midst of skepticism. Because it doesn't matter what someone believes, it matters what's in me. And my aunt came on Sunday night and gave her life to Jesus. Why? Because she could handle no more. No more. Everything in her life was challenged in love. Not because I think anything less. I love my aunt with all my heart. She's beautiful. She's amazing. She has such a brain. Now her heart's bigger than her brain. And that's so good. And she's such an amazing woman. This is what God's called you to, guys. This is the deal. It's like a real deal. Man, God wants to wreck everyone around you through the Christ that's in you. He does. It's good. Like, I'll just do a couple questions. Has anybody got a question? Yeah. Hold on 1 second. That's right. Yes.
You hit on that, all of them were healed. I mean, I've seen people healed on the hand, but they can see the healing.
Yeah.
Talk about people's eyes being opened. I went to a church in Ronald Coin. You may be familiar with him.
Who?
Ronald Coin.
No.
Daisy Osborne prayed for him when he was 7 years old. He was 5. He had his eye put out in Texas.
Yeah.
And are you familiar with the Osmores?
No.
Do you own Daisy Osborne?
No. I think I might have heard of it. I'm 4.5 years old in the Lord, man.
Okay, well, they did the works of Jesus. Hundreds of thousands of people healed. Just
awesome.
Around the world. But he was 7 years old, and the tent meeting, and came up, and his mother after the meeting said, anybody need prayed for? So he had a little fever then, little boy did. He was 5. He had a glass eye in. He walked up to the front and said, Daisy said, what's wrong with you? He says, she says, what's wrong with your eye? He says, I can't see. She says, I see in Jesus' name. A guy came to our church about, he was in his 60s, and we take his good eye shut. He has a plastic eye now, but it's a lot lighter. He can take it out. He can read anything. He said, God is spirit. He doesn't need an eye to see. So,
he can see out of like no nothing in there.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Jesus. That's so good.
But you said something, and this has always been, you know, I've seen people healed, and I've been preaching the same thing you do, that God wants to heal everybody. But you said no matter if they're skeptics, isn't there a scripture? I'm just getting ready to look it up, though, that says he didn't heal many there because of their own.
Yeah. Now, you ready?
Okay.
Let's do it. Okay, I love it. The gospel is the gospel of truth. Jesus is such a good teacher. Right? Okay. When Jesus went to Nazareth, that's his hometown. That's what you're referring to. Right? He went to Nazareth and he couldn't heal many there. He didn't do many mighty miracles because of their unbelief. Okay. Let me ask you this. Jesus preaches a sermon, this first message, in the synagogue, in front of the Jews. And they know him. And he grew up in their town. Can you imagine? You know your picture of Jesus, right? You know what you feel and what you see in your heart. Can you imagine someone bringing a paralytic up to Jesus, putting him right in front of Jesus, and saying, go ahead. And Jesus reaching down and saying, young man, arise. I said, arise. Arise. Come on, guys, get with me. Is that Jesus?
No.
Now watch. Can you picture a blind man, them bringing a blind man up to Jesus and saying, go ahead, do it. And Jesus, now watch. This is good.
They didn't bring people to it because they didn't bring the people.
Right.
That's the key.
The gospel answers it. Now watch. Did Jesus ever turn anyone away? Ever? Now watch. When he preached in his synagogue, they rejected him. And they said, isn't this? Wait a second, guys. Hold on. Didn't he grow up? Aren't his brothers and sisters? Let's get out of here. So Jesus didn't do any mighty miracles because they turned their backs on him and they rejected him. That's huge, but he still healed a few sick on his way out. That's big. We've made a theological doctrine out of that. And here's what it's done. It's disenabled us in a situation when we go into a hospital and there's 5 unbelievers in the room speaking negative.
Yeah.
And we pray for them. And then we use a cop-out excuse saying, well, you know, they would have been healed. Those people wouldn't have been so negative.
Right. Come on.
Yeah. This is real. Come on, it's real.
That's right.
They rejected Jesus, so he didn't do any mighty miracles there. They turned their backs on him. You can't tell me for a second that Jesus prayed for somebody and it didn't happen. Never, ever, ever. Yeah, but that's never been taught that way. Why? Because we have to have an excuse for why somebody wasn't healed. We have to have a reason because we have to, through our experience, explain away why something didn't happen.
Come on.
We have to have an excuse. We have to say, well, I prayed for so-and-so and they didn't make it. I had faith, brother. Emotionally, we wanted them healed. But there's a difference between emotion and faith. That's a hard one. I deal with this constantly. Because I pray for people and they don't make it. And it hurts. But I know there's a place where I pray for them and they do. Here's the answer. If Jesus walked into a room and prayed for somebody, is there ever a time if he touched them when it didn't happen? So since Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me, the only thing that's lacking is a revelation of Jesus in my life if I don't see it come to pass.
Yes.
That's huge. It is. Watch this. When they brought the man with the withered hand in, remember? They said, is it right to heal him? They guinea pigged this guy. Who was in faith? Just Jesus.
That's right.
And Jesus healed him right there. No one else is in faith. What about the funeral procession when the young man in the coffin was gone? Do you know that in Jewish culture, if you put your hands on the coffin, you're unclean? Right?
Yeah.
Guaranteed there were some people freaking out when Jesus walked up and said, whoa, hold on. People were shaking because of the law, because of what they're under. They're unclean now. Oh my gosh, what's going on? Jesus said, arise. The boy got up. Who was in faith?
Jesus.
Just Christ. This is huge. It's humongous. so good. Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? The man at the pool? We preached that Jesus, like, he only was led to the one. He only prayed for the one. There was many other people that needed healing, but Jesus only prayed for the one. They were trying to make him natural king. Jesus had a short mission. He had to do what he had to do. He had to get it done. He was going to the cross. And we said, we got to pray and see who you're led to. You tell me one person that you see that Jesus didn't pay a price for and walk by him, and I'll agree with you. So as far as being led, if we agree that everyone has been, everybody is loved by God, everybody's a son, everybody's a daughter, they just don't know it, then everybody's a prime target for the gospel to land on.
Amen.
So we don't have to pray about who we're led to. We just need to get past ourselves and go and pray for everyone. Right? Now watch. Jesus prayed for that man, got out of there quick. The man's carrying his mat through the synagogue, or through the courts. And Pharisees freak out. You can't carry a mat, Sabbath. The man that healed me told me to do it. Who told you to do this?
I don't know.
He had no idea who even healed him. So the faith couldn't have been in that man to heal him. He had no idea who he was. He'd been there for a whole long period of time. Jesus healed him, got out of there. So it's the faith in the believer that makes the difference. It's never, ever the faith in the one being prayed for. These signs follow believers, not those being prayed for. It's great if somebody has faith, but you can't depend on it. You need to be armed up with God, know who you are, so that in the midst of a situation, you're the lighthouse. Because God's called us to live by faith.
That's right.
Thank you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's really clear. The gospel explains it all. It's like, it's so like black or white. It's so like for him or against him. It's so like, there's no in between, man. There's no gray area. There's no 30 reasons why people don't get healed. There's the one reason why they should. Because Jesus never had any excuses, but we've made up excuses to explain away our experiences at the cost of God's word. And we've disenabled the power of God to flow through the believer because of theological doctrines that make us feel good. Because we have to explain why someone wasn't healed. And Jesus didn't have any of that stuff. And he said to walk like him. If he said to walk like him, we can. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You have another one? Go ahead. Hold on 1 second.
Actually, attached to that, based on what you said, you're saying,